Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:57 Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 21st. Well, when we just take a look at the highlights today, starting in Asia, that the Nikkei was stronger by about 0.85%, and part of the reason for that, of course, was because the yen was really quite weak yesterday, almost a full yen weaker against the US dollar. Elsewhere in Asia, the Chinese A-shares were off their lows on the day, but still slightly in negative territory. The Hang Seng was down about 0.2%. Well, in Australia, the ASX was just marginally in positive territory and also well off its lows, but the banking sector as well was off its lows, having been in negative territory much of the day. Well, in India, the Nifty continues to range, but the banking sector, which has been a fairly reliable lead indicator both to the up and to the downside, is pressuring the upper side of its range and is looking really quite firm. Elsewhere in Asia then, the contested election result in Indonesia was dealt, Widodo was given an air of confidence when this, at least the Supreme Court struck down at least part of the contestation to his victory, and the Indonesian stock market was a little bit more additionally in positive territory today. Well, the Korean market, which has continued to look like it's going to be able to break up out of this range, was down fairly sharply today. But, well, it continues to look like that this is a consolidation in the region of the upper side of what has been a three-year trading range, but that it is going to have to be able to sustain that move above the 2000 area. Well, in Europe today, the majority of indices were in positive territory. That we're seeing that the negotiations between the Russians and the Ukrainians continue to progress. And, well, as David has said on multiple occasions over the years, that a crisis needs to be seen to be getting worse in order for it to have a continued effect. And, well, the crisis is not getting worse, at least at the moment. So the IBEX in Spain was up about 1.3%. The Italian index up over 2%, the DAX up just less than 1%, and the CAC up 1.25%, and the FTSE was up about 0.33%. Well, what we've seen now, when you take a broader look at the Eurostox index of about, just over 300 shares, that this is the largest reaction that we'd seen since about 2012, that the overextension relative to the 200-day EMA on the downside has now been unwound. Well, here we are. This is the big question, whether the rally is going to continue and extend, or whether it is going to encounter resistance, having unwound the fairly deep oversold level that we saw earlier this month. Well, a large part of that is going to be dependent on the geopolitical situation, that a lot of the shares that had these extremely deep pullbacks as a result of their exposure to the Russian market in particular have at least steadied, and those that don't have that exposure are rallying as well. Well, we continue to have this deflationary situation in Europe, that the impact of the Russian sanctions on the Eurozone economy is an additional headwind, and there are plenty of other headwinds to the economy as well. So there's people starting to now think about, well, is this going to be an additional rerun of the Eurozone crisis? Is the European economy going to go into a deep deflation? Are we going to see contractions not just in the Italian and, well, a smaller contraction in the German market, but is this going to go more widespread? There's a lot of articles have been written about this in the last week. So it's certainly a topic that is starting to grab people's attention, and not least because the extent of that pullback was so very violent. Well, when you look at the bounce that we've had so far, then we've had a low of at least near-term significance, that in order to conclude with any kind of confidence that the top is in and that this really is a medium-term peak and that we're going to see significantly lower levels, then these indices would have to both encounter resistance in the region of their respective 200-day moving averages and move to additional new lows. Well, we're just not there yet. And the situation, the geopolitical situation, has at least, well, it's an ebbing and flowing situation, that it's getting better and worse, but at the moment it is getting better, and that people are looking at this with at least a cautious sense of optimism. Well, let's look at the US as well. Then the Nasdaq 100 moved on to 4,046 in here today, is up a little bit. The S&P 500 has been up in almost consecutive days for nearly 2 weeks and moved on to another new all-time high. And it's now 11 points short of the round 2000 level. Well, if there was a short-term oversold condition 2 weeks ago, there is currently a short-term overbought condition. Does that suggest that we're going to get a little bit of consolidation in the region of the 2000? Well, quite possibly. Bank of America today has settled its, well, it's the litigation that was against it with regard to its participation in the subprime crisis before 2007. It's going to cost it about $16 billion, but that's behind it, and the stock rallied. The banking sector is finding support in the region of the moving average, and the diversified financials are pushing on to new high ground. The dollar has been reasonably firm in here, but it's a little bit overbought in the very short term, just as the euro is a little bit oversold. Well, when we think about what exactly is the Fed going to do, that is really the big question. If this is a liquidity-fueled environment, and I don't think that anyone is really going to argue that it is a liquidity-fueled environment, well, the role of liquidity is by far the greatest arbiter. There's an awful lot of commentary about the geopolitical situation and the price of oil and what's gold doing and what about the economy and still is the, what about deflationary risks? What about the fact that your housing, both sales and starts are very positive in the US, but that you still have slack in the economy, that participation in the labor markets is still very low, but that you haven't got any wage pressures, but that hiring is improving. All of these factors, there's a solid argument on both sides of the equation. Well, what's Janet Yellen going to say tomorrow at Jackson Hole? Well, she's probably going to say that the economy is starting to improve a bit more, but that the Fed will need some additional time to really draw a decision. But, well, would you really be rushing out to buy today when you know that there's going to be what could potentially be a meaningful announcement from the Fed tomorrow? And, well, considering that we have this short-term overbought condition, well, then there is at least the potential that we're going to get some consolidation of what have been pretty powerful gains over the last 2 weeks. Well, and not least because it's Friday and people will be coming to the end of a week where they've had a good gain and they might be looking to take a little bit of profit off the table. Well, when we look at the commodity markets, well, yesterday was a very firm day indeed for the industrial metals and not least copper. Well, copper prices on that COMEX contract are up to $3.17. And the nickel price, well, that had also been, consolidating for a while, but it was breaking out again yesterday. And, well, it's really starting to look a little bit more positive that it's found support in the region of the 200-day moving average. It's completely unwound its overbought condition, and there's room for it to move higher in here at present. Well, the Chinese market is pretty much totally off the radar, but, well, this has still been a pretty impressive rally that we've had over the last month, and, well, it doesn't look like it's over just yet, but, again, there's a short-term overbought condition, so we might get a little bit of a pause in consolidation. Well, if you start to break the world up into three separate sections, then you have an overbought condition in a short-term overbought condition in the U.S., you have the unwinding of an oversold condition evident in Europe, and, well, you have a number of markets in Asia which have had these, changes in governance that you can only say is improving, and that a number of markets have either broken out or out of pretty lengthy ranges or are moving to positions of outperformance. Well, that suggests that... Well, what we're looking then at is monetary policy, that what is exactly going to happen in terms of tapering. Well, we're going to finish with tapering by October, and then at least sometime next year we're probably going to start to see interest rates rising. That you'd have to have a significant deterioration in the US economy to really question that outlook. In the meantime, if this is a liquidity-fueled environment, you'd have to have a meaningful move in terms of what's going to happen with liquidity to really question the consistency and the momentum that's driving this market. So, well, we'll have to see what she what Janet Yellen says tomorrow. But that, at least in the short term, there's probably not more than the prospect of a consolidation of short-term gains, and that you'd really need to see the late July and early August lows taken out before anyone would really question the medium-term uptrend, at least on Wall Street. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.